Emilio, how the hell are we feeling this morning?
You know, I'm feeling a bit on the tired side. Just been down in back-to-back Americanos, putting on my little serums, vitamin C, face oils, you know the routine, just doing whatever the hell I can to get my glowy, dewy look back. We love our quick skincare fixes, folks. But you know what I really need?
Some tax relief?
No. My motherfucking beauty sleep. Sleep, it's like a bottle of fine wine, becoming more important with age. Apart from it helping you not looking busted as hell, it can lower your risk of serious health problems, reduce stress levels, boost your mood, and help keep you in shape. But when you live above Brooklyn's hottest clam bar, it's hard to enter and remain in the hallowed REM cycle.
Brother, it sounds like you need some deeps.
What the hell is deeps?
Let me tell you what deeps is. Deeps is a new sleep science company that develops naturally derived products that help people get deep restorative sleep so you can continue on with that endless grind set of capturing the bag. We want you to retain that youthful bright glow. And since microdosing seems to be working its way back into the zeitgeist, maybe we can explain this to our listeners in a way they might understand.
Go on.
Deep's sleep patch is lab tested, drug free, non-habit forming. It's a hypoallergenic patch that's sort of like microdosing a powerful blend of melatonin, valerian root, CBD, ashwagandha, L-theanine and lavender to give your body what it needs to wind down, stay asleep, and wake up feeling on top of the world. Best of all, it's biomedically engineered to stay on throughout the night.
Not like that faux silk sleeping mask you purchased off of Amazon.
God damn it, why'd you have to bring that up?
I gotta check these things out.
Well, the sleep patch is currently available in 5-packs, 10-packs, and now 20-packs. Along with the new holiday bundles, head over to getdeeps.com and use code DEWEY20 at checkout for 20% off your first order. I'm telling you, you're going to sleep like a goddamn baby, my guy.
That is getdeeps, GETDEEPS.com.
All right, everybody, this is Dewey Dudes episode 98. Welcome back, gang. Before we get into today's meaty show, a little housekeeping. If you haven't looked at it yet, there is a gift guide on the Discord. I also think it's in the link tree where Emilio and I list off all the gifts you should be copying for your loved ones, Dewey Dudes related and unrelated. Things that we just want to throw out there. Other gift guides worth noting. The Throwing Fits guys, they have a gift guide on their Patreon. I mean, I know you'd have to subscribe to see it, but they shouted us out on it. Worth looking at. Perfectly Imperfect has a gift guide. Who else has a gift guide? In case you're not fucking with our vision.
Everybody in the world has a gift guide, but those are only... Have you looked at the Throwing Fits one?
Yeah, I looked at the Fitz one.
How is it?
It's good. It's good. I mean, they included things I thought of including on ours.
Oh, really?
Like,
damn, could it be
Kate's hat?
Kate's hat?
Kate Walt?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What else did they include that I was thinking of? I don't know. They shouted us out. They included like an Hermes soap bar, which I would never think of including on a gift guide, but I think that's kind of funny.
That's funny. That's good. They shouted us out, huh?
They shouted us out in the copy. They said, yo, you can find our full lineup, our full skincare routine by listening to the Dewey Dudes podcast.
Damn,
but here's a little teaser of what the grown 40-year-olds are using.
Straight keels. No, I
don't. Yo, I'm proud that we got ours out pretty quick.
Yeah, that was like really good timing. And now it's like, because you hit the Thanksgiving, the Black Friday holiday period, and now we're rolling over to the Christmas period. That was good timing.
Have you done any shopping? Are you doing any shopping?
Have I done? You know, No, I'm.
Are you? Do you celebrate Christmas? I mean, I don't really buy gifts for my family, and they don't buy gifts for me during Christmas anymore. So it's kind of like a "I see you, you see me" type of situation. But I don't know if you do that.
We used to. I mean, you know, last couple of years economically have been tough. So I think my family, when we recognize that things are rough, we don't expect a gift. But if things are good, then maybe a little gift here or there. Yeah, I've been thinking about getting. Well, Nat, you mentioned the Hermes bar soap. That sounds like a gift my mother would love. I've been trying to think of some other gifts. I'm going to try to send some friends some gifts. I'm going to try to send Christina something.
Yeah. You
know, easy skincare gifts. But that's it, you know. Might even try to gift myself something, you know. Get on my I deserve a treat shit.
What kind of treats are you into right now? What would satiate your hunger?
I haven't thought that far, but well, I have, but like they're really stupid things, just like nice socks.
Sure. Nice socks, yeah.
Speaking of socks, I'm wearing Hawthorne's fucking gifted sock right now. Oh shit, hold on.
How are they feeling?
They're actually pretty nice. They kind of have like an athletic fit to it where it's kind of like it's like pretty snug, you know, but it feels like it's moisture wicking.
It ain't cutting off the circulation.
No, but some nice socks, some, you know, the Rose having a sale, etc. Maybe a item.
What could you get from the Row?
I'm just trying to get a nice dress shirt. You know, I've been like looking for like 2 years, I feel like, and just haven't been able to find anything. And, you know, I'll end up being like, nah, I don't need this. But I don't know. If I really wanted to ball out, maybe a new Spanish guitar, nylon string guitar. Yeah. I should probably do that because I need to learn an instrument before a tour.
Are you thinking about bringing the nylon string on tour?
Yeah, but
No,
I'm thinking about doing that, but it's like, I don't know if it sounds as good. I would look for one that has like what's it called? Like I can like plug it into an amp, you know?
Yeah.
But like,
yeah, I remember.
But I feel like those never sound that good, right? Brother,
I do not listen to live music.
You used to play guitar in a band.
I did. And we could get into that later. But yeah, I don't know what the gearheads, the techie video and sound people are recommending these days when it comes to acoustic guitars and whatnot. But that's a great treat for yourself. Trying to think of what I could get you at this last hour. I guess we still got like 10 days.
I'm still using all the
13 days.
All the B-Day gifts, you know.
Hell yeah. Good. Oh, I thought I would mention that on our gift guide, we recommended these products that are kind of like travel size, like water resistant pouches for your skincare. Found something better. It's called 100 milliliter as a gift. Maybe you wouldn't want to buy this for yourself, but I think it's like, just thought I would tell the listeners, there's this thing called shop100ml.com. And basically it has a lot of luxury skincare products, travel size versions of them. And you basically just build your own pouch and they ship it to you. So I thought that would be, you know, for the frequent Delta flyer, there you go.
Damn, that's a hell of a gift. Yeah,
look that up. But yeah, damn. I already bought gifts for Anna.
Oh shit! I guess he can't reveal what he.
I can't announce it. But the thing is, it's like a lot of people, they'll buy a Christmas tree in New York, but they won't put anything under it, and I think that is totally defeats the purpose of having a Christmas tree. So I bought a Christmas tree, decorated it. But the real warmth comes from the gifts below. So
yeah.
How to buy? Even look, you're almost forced to buy gifts when you buy a treat.
It just looks better. Also,
it does look better. All right, let's get into this episode. Yeah. All right, other housekeeping. Last couple things. There are hats for sale on the website, the MILF hats. And if you guys didn't see us post about it. If you go to essence.com, okay. God damn it, we have an editorial on there. Uh-huh. And I won't go into what it's about. Just check it out. But other than that, let's get into today's episode. Anything you want to tell the listeners about what's going on in your life? I know you went to a high snob party.
Yeah.
That I had to miss out because I was feeling a little shy.
Just as you'd expect. Not much to report on. The river should never, ever allow that many people inside of that bar. It was just packed like sardines in there. But the thing is, I wasn't able to go until later. And I was really only there for like 30 or 45 minutes. And I feel like because of that, I felt like I had a good time because I was like in and out. I said what's up right. to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. The music was pretty good during the time that I was there. Open bar, had a quick drink, and then I got out. Saw some people from my we'll get into this later, but speaking of fellas in community, I saw some boys from my 7 a.m. WhatsApp soccer group.
Oh.
At the event, and then at I guess one of them's like friends with somebody that works at Dr. Clark's, but
okay.
Love playing soccer in the morning with those guys, but that was the first time I've actually like seen any of them like in real life, I guess.
Yeah, like fish out of water, huh?
Exactly. So it was cool saying what's up, but that's it, you know, that's it. I saw Tar recently, which you saw.
Oh, yeah. How did you enjoy it? You like Tar?
Dude, I burst out laughing at the end. I was like, is this really how it's going to end? Because I remember like before I saw it, a lot of people on Twitter were angry with the ending. I thought that was the funniest. That was the funniest shit ever. But no, I really liked it. I
enjoyed it's great.
It. Cate Blanchett's great in it. The row fits. They make Berlin
incredible.
They make Berlin look incredible. Not that it's not incredible, but
it's up for debate.
Yeah. Music wise, I feel like it was like I went to go see it because I was like I should get excited about music. I don't know. I really enjoyed it. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, I thought, look, we talk about movies on this podcast sometimes. Sometimes, you know, I lead on that I know more about cinema than I do. But I really did enjoy the movie. I feel like crafted well, super funny. I thought it was a lot funnier than people were giving it credit.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of cool how they combine like this weird kind of like black swan creepiness going on in the whole entire character study of just existing with Tar for the first like two acts and, you know, coming to your own conclusions as to whether or not she deserved her downfall. I will say what's interesting, and I thought about this today, because I see a lot of my friends, a lot of honeys out there who worship Tar, right? Uh-huh. They worship her fits. They worship her girl bossery. Mm-hmm. They worship, like, you know, just the taste, the sensibilities, the importance.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting to see that reaction of like fangirling and fanboy, because it's like I was as mesmerized as they are into this, I guess, kind of like quasi Me Too movie.
Yeah.
And how, for a lot of fellas out here, so this is just like a simple observation, and maybe it's incorrect, whatever. For a lot of like fellas out there who are fucking obsessed with various auteurs, you know, like fucking artists, mm-hmm. complicated, problematic people, you know, I feel like what's interesting, like, I feel like oftentimes the conversation of like separating the art from the artist or whatever, mm-hmm. it gets really like kind of poo-pooed.
Yeah,
because it's just like, nah, fuck that. And like, there's like a lot of dudes who are just like worshiping all these problematic, just gross, awful, like geniuses. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, y'all are idiots. Fuck this. I don't even want to engage with their art.
Yeah.
And then here comes this fictional character like Tar. And when you sit with her and you like exist with her for the like most of the movie, like, yeah, you become in mesmerized and you kind of walk away being like, yeah, we can separate the art from the artist. You know, like,
or you're like, did she do it?
Yeah, but you know, and it's just kind of funny too, because it's like it's the a movie that's like kind of like poking fun at it's the audience who's actually watching it. You know?
Yeah, I thought
which people, I really appreciated.
Right. I think that's the people that were like that didn't enjoy it that much. I think they took it too seriously.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was a little long, but that seems to be the new movie play.
Yeah, yeah. Two hours and 40 minutes.
The
perfect time for a movie. But yeah, that's that. You got any quick skincare updates?
Oh, brother, I got a couple. I've been working two new things into my routine. Shout out to the guys at Goshi for gifting us the Super Vitamin Body Wash Gel with rice protein and raw algae culture. That shit is herbaceous and floral as hell. Notes of rosemary, flower oil up in there, fucking lavender. It's I'm working it into my body care rotation. If you guys are looking to try anything new, you guys aren't liking your Necessaire, you're not liking your fucking Oris bar of soap, you're not liking your Dr. Bronner's, go and check out Goshi. They're now making product they're actually making like topical product. So
did you check if that product is out yet?
Yeah, it's out.
Oh, it's out? Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's out. I think like when they hit us up, it wasn't out, but no, it's now out. You can add to cart. It is $30. You know what's really crazy is like all of these DTC brands now have subscriptions on all their products.
Oh, I know, right? And it's like it's slightly cheaper if you subscribe to the product.
Which, I don't know. I don't have a full opinion about this yet, but I'm kind of like, it kind of rubs me the wrong way in the same way, and I'm going to sound like some fucking awful like Republican here, which but like in that every fucking purchase now you have to tip all the time.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
It's like I you know, God bless everybody, and I love tipping 20%. I love it. But that 20% starts added up at every single fucking place. You know what I mean? Where you're just like forced to do it.
Right.
It's different if I'm at a restaurant and I'm just like, I ride it. Even if I'm at like at a coffee shop, I'm hitting that $1 on one drink. I'm hitting the $2 on two drinks.
Yeah.
Fine. But some of these places, I'm just saying, it's like you're looking at me a certain way, and I'm having to always tip 20%, you know?
Spoken like a true Republican.
God damn it. Anyway, the thing is, it's like...
I feel you. I feel you, you know? More so, the thing is, I wonder if that's like... Because I've noticed this too. I can't remember like a specific example, but lately just when I've been like out and about in New York, like if I'm like purchasing something random, I have noticed sometimes I'm like, wait, option to tip? And it's not like, yeah, I agree too. Like I always tip on coffee, restaurants, takeout orders, pickup orders, that
absolutely
shit. Like, just like, yeah, on like a random purchase, it's like, no, I'm not like tipping. Like, not that like there's a tip option on this, but it's like going to like, you go get something at like Target and there's like a tip option. Like, nah, I ain't doing that. But maybe
there is stuff like that.
Maybe that's just happening in New York. But I don't know. You'll have to check when you go to Kansas. I have noticed something I've noticed, because I really have been feeling like how expensive the city is. At the restaurant, the people coming to pick up, like working Uber Eats, Postmates, Grubhub, whatever, picking up the orders.
Yeah.
There's just like everybody's got a side hustle now. Like I'll see fucking like literally like 15-year-old boys coming to pick up an order. Like I'll see fucking a dude like in a suit, like that looks like he just got off his fucking Wall Street job, like come and pick up a, like go do delivery. Like everyone's doing deliveries. I'm like, damn,
really?
Should I hop on the city bike and do some Grubhub deliveries? Yeah. It's just like, maybe that's just, I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but back to skincare.
shit, dog. I mean, we could get into that on another day. Also, I think what we, all right, if you ever choose to do that, maybe not, we don't do it in a, maybe I don't attach myself to this. I've got some ideas for you on delivery. right. If you want to enter that space, but yeah, things are getting more expensive. People are trying to find, more ways to keep up with brand inflation. Moving on, other things I'm including, the Margin Essential Face Cleanser. Goddamn, per usual, Margin killing it with the artist edition sleeves, the sleek packaging, the bottle just looking like a goddamn whippet.
I know, right?
You know, just
like, it looks like a canister.
You look like you're
like a canister. Yeah. That's what it is.
It's a canister. Yeah, you're kicking. All right, or you're kicking off your skincare routine like it's a goddamn fish concert.
oh my god.
But one thing I've noticed about it, and it's a gentle gel cleanser. It does the job. I'm no longer using the Skin by Kim, but it has this like yeasty smell to it that it's not like unpleasant, but it's definitely something I've never noticed in any other skincare products. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to know if you've experienced that too.
So I don't have an answer for that yet because I used the Margin cleanser like once or twice. And then yeah. I was going through like a rough patch with my skincare. So I was like, all right, I need to stop trying so many products. So I've just been running train through the last of my Dr. Loretta gentle hydrating cleanser. So I have
Damn, not, look, Dr. Loretta running a train on your face.
Yeah. I'm using the whole suite right now, but, so I don't know, but I believe you cause they're moisturizer was heavily scented, although that was like the first time I've ever kind of enjoyed the scent of a moisturizer. It had that like kind of like very light cucumber scent.
Oh yeah,
I'll have to, you know, I'll keep my nose perked up when I give that cleanser a try,
a little test. Yeah,
so you got those two things,
and then the saddest moment happened to me the other day. I fucking ran out of the rich cream.
Oh.
So I'm using this moment to beckon any Augustinus Botter employees who are listening to the podcast. I know you guys are a $1 billion company now. I know you can gift us some more. Please, please, please send us some more rich cream. That's Damn. It. That's it. What's new with you?
He just went down a tax bracket. I've been out of that rich cream for a while, unfortunately, but would love the brand to slide through and help us out. We must have really fallen off because haven't been receiving that many PR packages lately, but I bought one thing and I might buy a second thing, and it's the first time I've bought like a pretty, I mean, it's like I bought okay, I got a friends and family discount, so I think it ended up being like $74, but it's like a $90 mm-hmm. moisturizer, and it's the most expensive skincare product I've bought since we started doing this damn podcast. It's the recommended by Jill, the Nourishing Gel by Faith, which is probably like the moisturizer that she's used with you too at the end of your facials. I like it's really really moisturizing but light at the same time. And then the thing that I'm gonna buy, because I ran out of a tiny little sample, is the Lee Organics, which is on our gift guide, the Lee Organics concentrated amber serum, because that thing, goddamn, does that provide an immediate glow. But I still am deciding whether to buy one and gift it or buy one and keep it, you know, because I was like, that's kind of a good gift, because it's like you just put a couple of drops in the moisturizer. Nothing complicated, instant glow. People want to see immediate results. So we'll see. But using those two things, and then still loving the Dr. Loretta Intense Replenishing Serum. And at night, I've been using the Dr. Loretta Anti-Aging Repair Moisturizer. Not because I'm trying to anti-age, but just because it feels a little thicker, feels good. More suited for the night, thanks to the only doctor we trust, Dr. Loretta, for hooking us up with those products. And that's it. Other than that, finally diligently refilling my Canopy humidifier every night. My lips are thanking me. my plants are thanking me.
God damn.
Because I feel like the dry air was really doing a number on their leaf health. All I got for skincare.
What?
Go ahead.
No, nothing. I mean, the Lee Organics, that serum, I've been asking myself the same thing. Should I get it for myself? Should mm-hmm. I get it for as a gift? Because I feel like gifting skincare is it's an interesting thing to do, you know, because it's kind of like it sometimes people think, oh, like it could send the wrong message. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, you don't know what people's what someone's like skincare current routine is, like what their skin responds well to, what it doesn't. But I think that product, and at its price point, it's a pretty good way of saying I love you.
Oh shit, who are you saying I love you to?
Well, that gets us into our next segment.
Let's get into it.
When I make a new friend, I tell them I love them. Yes, all right, so I sent this to Emilio the other day. Mm-hmm. Our friends at the Failing New York Times posted something. They did a post. They made a post.
Yeah.
They had an article that was highlighting that right now, we are currently in a goddamn friendship recession. The headline of this article is, "Why is it so hard for men to make close friends?" And, you know, people have been asking this question for the last few years. It's been a trend that's been ongoing even before the pandemic. But yeah, last year in a 2021 survey of more than 2,000 adults in the United States, less than half of the men said they were truly satisfied with how many friends they had, while 15% said they had no close friends at all, fivefold increase since 1990. And that same survey found that men were less likely than women to rely on their friends for emotional support, to share their personal feelings with them, et cetera, et cetera. And that survey, it pinpoint some of the reasons why, you know, men friendships have been falling off is due to declining religious involvement, lower marriage rates, and changes in the workplace are some of the culprits. But, you know, I was wondering, what do you think's going on? What do you think is going on? Why aren't the fellas, why do we choose not to have our intimate male friendships?
I mean, as you were reading that stat back, I was like, hold up. They only surveyed 2,000 men, 2,000 adults in the United States. It seems kind of low, doesn't it? But I completely, nonetheless, I agree. I don't know. You know, the article also touched on something about how, like, it's easier for men to, it's less personal and it's easier for men to, to like interact, to get together, to do something, if there's something like an activity that it's like that revolves around. And it had me thinking, like, all my dude interactions in the last few months, or in the last like month, has revolved around the World Cup or like my fantasy football league, which I kind of just do that every year now to, you know, hang on to that, to friends, because this year I'm like 1 in 11, because I'm not even, every once in a while I hop in the chat just to let them know I'm still there. But I think they have a hard time just having friendships based off of simply enjoying the company of one another. Like, it really, a lot of times I feel like it does have to be like, We're gonna go watch this game. We're gonna go do this. You know, I don't know, the game. It revolves around the game, and oftentimes like dudes don't know how to get past that. And then like, all right, well, like now we're just chilling. Now we're actually getting to know each other. I don't know. What do you know? It's
like, well, yeah. I mean, that's kind of funny. It's like, oh, like I think I'm engaging in a friendship here because we're going to go watch the game, or we're going to like do an activity, competitive activity, like do a sport. But really, you're just looking for another body. But I don't. But that's not always the case. I mean, I think more than ever, I think everyone's isolated. by technology, I think that's a culprit. I think mm-hmm. by design, like the US specifically, and like it, like not just geographically, like in a local sense, but like even culturally, has like made it so much harder to meet new people later in life.
Yeah,
I think outside of institutions like college, you know, school, obviously, it's like those are your coming of age years. And I think because you're forced to be in spaces with people you probably wouldn't immediately gravitate toward, you're like, there are just strangers all the time, and you're confined in various, you know, like physical spaces, you're having to force conversation. And I just feel like when you become an adult, like, I don't know anything about really history. I mean, I know things about history, but like, mm-hmm. There were like social clubs back in the day, but I feel like now, I feel like if you made social clubs for like that weren't marketed as elite, even though mm-hmm. that shit's cringy as hell, like people would be very suspicious about what's going on. They would joke that it's probably like some kind of polyamorous cult. They would probably joke that like it's it probably has like a political message behind it, like, oh, these weirdos are meeting up to like start a militia, you know, like
yeah.
Whereas I think like back in the day, I feel like you had these social clubs were just a little bit more more normalized. Mm-hmm. I don't know, and I'm not saying that's like the cure for like for the fellas to come out of their loneliness, but yeah, I feel like that's a big culprit. I feel also just in general, like a huge, men are just competitive, and they're asked to be competitive from the moment they're no longer a kid to when they die, and they just lead a very lonely life. And obviously, I think just generally speaking, women are also can be competitive with each other, but I think they kind of share a certain kind of like a bond or understanding and empathy. And I'm not trying to be like an essentialist in this kind of way, but like I think that in having to kind of like recognize the difficulties that come with being the shared difficulties that come with being a woman like navigating a world of men. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the fellas, they're having to operate in like, oh, we live in a world designed by men, and I'm having to compete to win it all, right?
Yeah,
I don't know. So those are some thoughts on that, but yeah,
less no, I feel like definitely like in the US there's like less focus on or importance put on like community build, I guess. Yeah. Like maintain continuing to build like community like later on in the later stages in life. So what are some things we're doing?
Fellas, you know, if you're like the New York Times has prescribed 4 strategies to get your friendship body count up, and they say, one, you need they had this like this researcher come on and talk mm-hmm. about it, so it's not like the staff is telling you this is what you do, but
yeah,
one tool is to practice vulnerability, even if it makes you uncomfortable. So I mean, you know, you shouldn't just unload on strangers, but like, I don't know, if you like check in with a friend or something, or you actually talk about a difficulty you're going through, I feel like people could like connect that way. And I know that's a very kind of like obvious statement, mm-hmm. but I don't know. I feel like a lot of people are really closed off because they're afraid of being judged and in being vulnerable or alienating people. But really, I think it just brings you closer.
Yeah. 100%.
What else they said in trying to make new friends, don't assume that it happens organically. So when you're a kid, you like, because you're in preschool or you're at recess or whatever, and like there's no one else around, so you're just hanging out with just randos, and it kind of organically happens.
Yeah.
Because I mean, as a kid, you're probably always looking for friends, and you assume everybody else is looking for friends because the world is full of wonder and mystery. But as an adult, a lot of people, you know, you're not always like, not everyone's looking for friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. So I think you kind of have to like, you know, not that you have to say that thing out loud, like, hey, buddy, I'm looking for a new goddamn friend, but kind of take notes and not note of what your intentions are, and don't be so hurt if, in case, you know, the boy you're trying to meet doesn't reciprocate.
Just gotta put yourself out there.
Absolutely. Like, all right, use activities to your advantage. Number three, that makes sense. You know, activities. That's a great what do you want to say about this, Emilio? You were just talking about activities, soccer.
Yo. Soccer. Any sport under the sun.
Yo, if you're in New York, bro, you hit up. You're where are we hitting up? We're going downtown. We're gonna go watch a movie at the Metrograph. We're gonna go. What else are we doing? What's an activity?
Go to the spa with your boy.
Yeah, there you go. Go to the spa with your boy. Go, make TikTok videos with your boy. You know. Hey, yo, I'm looking for someone to help me edit this day in the life for me.
Oh, yeah. Are people still doing those?
Yeah, I feel like, they're definitely making day in the lives. Everyone makes day in the lives. Everyone's making a video for anything they could possibly think of. Like, the other day I was on fucking Instagram, and I got this algorithmic video that showed up of some, because, you know, I'm getting more fitness, like, posts as I, like, go further into my fitness journey. And it was a guy literally like lifting up his arms, showing off his fucking his lats, and then literally speaking into the microphone and saying how to create the perfect muscle shirt for going to the gym.
Like, oh my god,
which was literally he was showing off his shirt that he just like cut the sleeves off of, and I was like, you don't need to make a video for this. Like,
yeah.
But I guess the way people consume content is just so mindlessly that like those 3 or 4 seconds become like a view, and yeah. Then it just feeds what other, I don't know, like benchmarks, some metrics you're trying to meet for the day, and you just have to keep the content machine going. But I don't know. Moving on, but number four, fellas, if you're still with us, if you're still trying to friends max. you know, the power of casual check-ins. You know, if there's somebody you haven't talked to in 6 months and you think, oh man, they're so busy, they haven't hit me up, I'm so busy, you know what you should do right now? You should literally just text them and say, King, I miss you, have you been?
Yeah, I feel like that's the most important one. As they put it, the power of the casual check-in.
Yes. You know, it means more to people than you realize. I love getting one. I get really anxious when I get one because then I'm like, oh, fuck, now I have to like, I got to like respond, which I just hate texting now. But
yeah, same.
Yeah. I mean, look, yeah, if you're trying to friends max, maybe the fellas just need a treat. Like there needs to be like pickup artistry for friends.
For friends. Yeah.
I think that's the way they can like, they can metabolize it. They can go, oh, yeah. Like if I just send out 18 check-in messages a day to my boys, I'm gonna make more friends, you know?
Yeah, turn it into a numbers game.
Yeah, that's what you do. But yeah, and then a strategy they left off, you know, you just start a podcast.
Yeah, start a podcast, you know, invite very few male guests on the show.
Yep. You know, maybe your co-host will become your friend.
Yeah. Maybe it'll strengthen the bond of a friendship that already existed. You never know what beautiful things a podcast will bring to your life.
Absolutely.
And let's get into, do we dates?
Yeah. You know, we can touch on this for a second. I might be old news, but, there's a question that's just burning in the back of my head. Last week, What made the rounds on Mr. Musk's Twitter was this Guardian article that was published from a writer who was recounting her experience with a boyfriend who was also a writer, who she alleges broke up with her because, according to her, she was a writer. And some people were celebrating it, being like, yes, queen, you know, the fellas are threatened and that's awful. There are other people dunking on it, being like, this is poorly written. It's kind of polarizing. Some people are just saying writers in general are all like insufferable. Why am I reading about this? Mm-hmm. But the question in the back of my head was, is it possible to date someone who shares the same creative or career practice as you? What do you think, Emilio?
I don't know. If it's like, I've been thinking about that a lot for the last couple of years. I mean, I think it's possible, but depending on, like, what am I trying to say here? Like, I already, like, if I have, like, a creative practice, I'm already thinking about it so much. And it's, like, I feel like most artists, it's, like, and whatever they do, they can only take, they only actually take in so much, like, constructive criticism, you know? It's for the most part, it's, like, it's a kind of a self-indulgent practice most mm-hmm. of the time. And, like, are you actually able to have, I feel like how many relationships are able to have like that, like constructive back and forth talking about like each other's work? Or is it just like
mm-hmm.
two people will not really act, people just like talking at each other or like this situation that happened with this writer? Like, I don't know. I think it's possible, but
yeah,
it's like, if you already spend all day thinking about or doing something, do you then want to spend more time thinking about it in the context of somebody else's work? What do you think?
Yeah. Oh, I think sometimes it really strengthens bonds, and I think it can be a good thing. I think it usually ends poorly because you find yourself eventually, even if you guys don't make the same type of art, but maybe you guys, for example, if you are both writers or you're both musicians, you're both like artists, mm-hmm. and with that in similar genres, or maybe not even similar genres, I don't know. I think it could be fun to have someone push you. It could be fun to have someone's feedback that you respect. Yeah. And there's a lot of romance and intimacy, and you know, it's hot, it's cool. But then eventually when someone does have a little bit of success, suddenly you're in a little bit of a competition. And I think, I don't know. I barely read this article. It seemed to me like that as I was skimming it. I was like, dude, she should have broke up with this dude like a long time ago. Like, there's a lot of red flags.
Yeah, that's
like,
that's kind of what I saw.
Right.
Too.
Yeah. I was like, there's so many red flags here. And like, it sucks that you're having to write this. Like, oh, my bro. Like, it's like, not that you could have seen this coming, but you could have. And it's kind of like, you're like just saddened by the fact that like, you know, he's threatened by you. And then it mm-hmm. kind of validates your worldview. And it's like, I can't believe you were with this guy to begin with, but
yeah,
no judgment. Anyway, like what I was saying is, yeah, I feel like sometimes people enter relationships in when they have the same either creative practice or they have similar kind of career goals. Like there's kind of sometimes a power dynamic that's established, and it's the allure that is why people enter it. Meaning that sometimes you'll have a mentor-mentee kind of relationship, which like is really hot at first, but then when the mentee surpasses the mentor, you know, or if the mentor makes the mentee like feel like shit, you know, it's like, it's awful, it's toxic. But I think if you both kind of enter at the same, on the same level, level playing field, is that what they say? Level playing field?
Yeah.
Is that right?
I think all so. Right.
When you're on the same level,
when you're in a level playing field,
you see someone kind of surpass you a little bit, it's going to cause some conflict. Because yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a career thing. It's a way of making money, success, prestige. Like, I don't know. Like, those effects are going to suck. But I bet what bonded you guys in the beginning was fucking hot and cool.
Yeah, for sure. And that's probably what they both held on to.
Yeah,
in that relationship.
Should we finish? Should we close off this show?
Let's finish it off.
I mean, all right, yeah, with some segments. Dewey Rude, do you have any rude things that happened to you this week that you just want to air out? Any things that are just eating you?
You got something while I think.
Yeah, you know, I'm not trying to bite off the hand that feeds me, but big shout out to Essence for putting us on. We had a lot of fun writing what we wrote. Go check that out. But my Dewey Rude might go to the fulfillment center.
Did you get something? Have you been personally affected, or were you just seeing like
no? Well, all the no. Well, I've never been personally affected, but I went to this. I went to they posted about us on their Instagram, and I looked at the comments and I was like, oh wow, there's 28 comments. Wow, everyone's engaging with our work. They've got criticisms. They got feedback. No, every single comment was like, when will I get my package? When will, when will my, like, it says my shipment has been delayed by X amount of days. It was literally just like a help center dump.
And
I was like, oh, man. That sucks. That sucks that like your whole entire like social arm is now dedicated to that. Or maybe social, like social departments have always been dedicated to customer service help.
I think so. I mean, yeah, I thought it was funny too that every new comment was like, stop posting. Like somebody was even like, stop shit posting and send my order. But I was like, damn, are that many people really having like an issue? Because I've never had an issue with the shipping, and I actually, I bought and returned something recently.
Yeah.
And I too got an email saying my shipment was delayed, but it was like delayed like a couple, maybe this is all, again, maybe nobody in New York is having too big of an issue, but the people in the flyover states, they're having a hard time because I feel like as soon as I moved to New York, it was also like, oh shit, Essence shipping 1 to 2 days. In Chicago, it was always like, you know, at least 3 to 4 days.
Yeah. There was like DHL all the time there too, wasn't it?
Yeah. Here it's like, here it varies. Sometimes I got stuff, sometimes it's UPS, sometimes it's DHL, sometimes it's Canada Post handed off to the hardworking postal service. But I'm praying for everybody who's missing, a package.
Yeah.
And
so I understand it's a really difficult time for those workers this season. So we appreciate the hard work and what were we gonna say?
Yeah, I hope they get their packages, and I hope the payments department goes off and completes our invoice.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, or if you want to delay it till next year, so I don't have to. Pay brother, marginal tax on it. Anyway, yeah, you need that. Okay. All right. So, all right. Do you have a Dewey Rude?
No, I don't. That's kind of what I was thinking, to be honest.
Okay. What about a Dude of the Week?
Two Dudes of the Week. Well, there. I was trying to think of like non soccer related Dudes of the Week, but it's the World Cup. It only happens every 4 years.
Yep.
Despite all the criticism and everything else going on. These games have been, I have watched every single game. I have not, the only time I missed the game is when the last games of the group stage were like being played at the same time. But I've watched so many games. The quality has been high. It's been exciting. It's kept me, it's helped me take a step back from that ledge and kept me going through the winter. But two Dudes of the Week. Lionel Messi made it to the semifinals with Argentina. 35-year-old GOAT. This will be his last World Cup, and I hope he's able to bring it home for his sweet beloved country. Second Dude of the Week, who's just, this is when I say it's not just a sport, it's art. Kylian Mbappe, the French superstar, just watching that man strike the ball is a thing of beauty. That's a painting. So those are my Dudes of the Week. What about you?
Well, I have to ask you, you know, now the semifinals are coming up. All right, who are you rooting for? Who are you rooting? I personally, with knowing nothing, I'm rooting for Morocco.
Morocco, yeah. I feel like most people are rooting for Morocco. I don't want to see Croatia in another final. You know what? Fuck it. Everyone hates the French. I'm rooting for I'll say it now. I like the French. Out of the four teams left, they play the most beautiful brand of football. And I would love to see Messi win, but something rubs me the wrong way about Argentinians. Not Messi.
Well, you know, well, I loved how someone else put it. All right, so on Twitter they said France, fascist. They said France is France. Argentina, fascist. Yeah. Croatia, fascist. And so I guess that's why they're rooting for Morocco. But we all love an underdog.
I would love for Morocco. Oh, wait, no, because they're playing France. Well.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh, I'm rooting for Morocco in that situation right there.
Right. No,
former colony.
I think it'll be a good.
Yeah.
It'll be a good game. Good game.
Yeah, I was at Le Gamin and just getting some French onion soup and croque madame while they were playing the England France game. And
oh, really nice.
Brother, that was the only game I caught for this World Cup, and
it was a good game.
It was a good game. You know, it's kind of funny to see how I like English fans who I feel like they're just like they're fair weather in the fact that it's because it's like they just love the whole entire like it's coming home bit.
It's coming home.
You know, yeah. I don't know, but it was I don't know. That's I'm out of my depth here trying to talk footy with you, but all right, my dudes of the week are let's take it back to movies. Brendan Fraser. Mm-hmm. I saw The Whale. Look, I would love to talk about The Whale on another podcast if someone wants to come on, and because it's a very polarizing movie at the moment, but Brendan Fraser, goddamn, I was crying throughout that entire movie.
Damn.
Yeah, it's incredible. Actually, I don't know if the movie's incredible. I have to really kind of sit with it, because sometimes when an actor, it just delivers such an incredible performance, that is the movie to you, you know? And you don't actually know if anyone else had been injected into this, like, would, because it was based off a play, and you know, I like Darren Aronofsky. I do. I think Mother was great. I've still never seen Requiem for a Dream, but you know, I like that he's been constantly making people mad for a while. But yeah, check out The Whale if you haven't. Slide my DMs. Let's talk about it. And then my other dude of the week, brother, there is before Avatar The Way of Water, and then there is after Avatar The Way of Water. And brother, this on the 15th, I'm going to the IMAX at 10:40. I am seeing it in 3D. 10:40 p.m.
Yeah.
And James Cameron, you know, love him or hate him, the meme is, yeah, you can't doubt him. This movie's gonna do $3 billion. Watch what happens. And
doesn't it have to do $2 billion to like not lose money?
I don't know if it maybe with like marketing, it probably needs $1 billion or like at least $400 million. I think it costs like $250 million or $300 million. It's kind of funny how it like the movie developed this narrative that it's like so expensive, which it is, like I think one of the most expensive ever made. Mm-hmm. But like there are plenty of streaming movies that like cost $250 million. It's been a really bad year for the box office in general. But like I think this movie is gonna do numbers, and you're gonna see why, you know, you're gonna see why. Look, I'm not like someone who, I don't fucking love Avatar. I'm not like Avatar fucking nerd.
You sure about that?
I'm not a nerd. I mean, like, I will defend Avatar, but I'm not like someone who's like, God damn, get me fucking tattooed blue. I don't want to be I don't want to become a Na'vi.
You're not going to go up to the Avatar meetup.
No, I'm not going to go to the meetup. I won't have depression, but it's like, you know, it's nice to see like an autistic Canadian director like see his vision through, and like, you know, like it's great. I applaud it, and you know, the man made Terminator 2. He made my favorite movie of all time, Titanic. So it's like, it's good to see something win and make a lot of money with an anti-imperialist message. So if anybody, look, I'll be a changed man after the 15th. So shout out to Jim. That concludes our show today, with the Dewey do's and don'ts. Amelia, what should we be doing? What should we be doing right now?
Do fucking go see Avatar, and then hop into the
go see Avatar
Dudes Discord and hit us with your thoughts.
Hit us with your thoughts. What else should we be watching? Go and see Tar if you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
Go and see. What else have I liked? I mean, I liked The Whale. Didn't love it. I liked it. I cried. I fucked on. What else has come out? Oh, I mean, I am excited about Babylon. I was kind of shitting on it because I think What's His Toes is so annoying.
I don't know what that is. Babylon. Oh, wait. I did see a preview of that before Tar.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Babylon looks a little, you know, I'm all for these 3-hour movies. Goddamn.
Oh, it's also Alicia. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what? I saw the preview of that and I was like, huh. Yeah, I'll go see that.
Yeah, of course. Of course. I mean, do you like Whiplash? Do you like La La Land?
Yeah, in that moment in time, I liked them.
Sure.
No, I mean I still like them for what they are. Like those are entertaining movies. Like I want to go see some Hollywood shit.
Right.
So what else do we
what
do
else?
Casually check in on your male friendships, on any friendships, on anyone?
Yeah, fire up the messages app right now. Draft some king. I miss you. Just draft it.
See what happens.
What not to do. Look. What else did we talk about on this? Do we hesitate?
Go ahead.
Yeah. No. I like where you're going with this.
No. Do we hesitate if you're thinking about getting somebody a gift? Don't hesitate on pulling the trigger. Just even if you're like, I don't know if I'm close enough to this person to be gifting something, just do it.
Yeah. Oh. This kind of fits into the friendship recession. Yo, friends maxing. Look, I have lately been trying to get into more intimate gatherings, soirees, if you will, dinners. They don't even have to be like very tasteful. I don't give a fuck. If you're thinking about bringing together friends, feeling cozy, just host something. Just host something at your apartment. Let your roommates know, or you know, go in with someone on it, and just fucking buy out the wine store, wine shop, you know, and just go to town one night. And I think that I'm only saying this because this is what I'm going to be doing next week. Mm-hmm. And I think that'll give you all the social fucking all the social life you need, I think.
Yeah.
So do that. But if you've made it this far, give us a review on Apple Podcasts. Go on Spotify, give us 5 stars, and that's everything I have to plug. What about you, Emilio?
That's all I have to plug. I don't know. Pick up tickets to my tour or don't. I actually don't really want to see anyone I know at these shows, but it'd be nice to sell them out.
Yeah, I like that. I like that as like an artist. You're like, yo, my shit is like, I like. Not seeing friends' faces is a sign of success.
Yeah. If any, on that note, if anyone knows any music accountants, music lawyers, music engineers, somebody who can help me figure out how to plug my shit up on stage, slide in my DMs. That's all I got.
Sick. All right. Well, until next time, everybody, this is Doobie Dudes, episode 98.